Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Thank you for joining us today. Today is December 19th, 2016. We're almost finished with 2016. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, and it feels like I've been on vacation. I really was only on since last Monday. We had pre-recorded, and then on Friday I lost my internet because of the bad weather here, and I did not lose my life and get kicked off the bridge by that big bad truck that tried to run me over, but here I am. I want to thank you for joining us. Today we have with us a guest host who's actually a host of his own show. He and I were talking, and I invited him on the show so we could chat a bit about the state of things in the world. His name is Barry Prince, and he is the host of The Big Puzzle on These Changing Times Radio on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you, Barry, for joining us.
Yeah, actually, Lonnie, I didn't even know I was going to come on with you today, so I've got my first coffee in me, and I think the brain's starting to work, so let's get at her. What do you want to talk about?
Well, that was, there's a lot of things to talk about. You know, over the weekend, Pilgrim Station closed. So, you know, the Pilgrim Station it's been closed for a while, the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant, but it got closed down. There was like four rods that they said they couldn't find. And there was an email that came out that said basically it is in such a state of disrepair, even the people working there don't know what is good safety practices. So a lot of these old nuclear power plants, I mean, I got engaged with this because of Fukushima. And I think a lot of us kind of woke up. I often say that Fukushima didn't just rock the earth, it rocked humanity. Like, we woke up and went, they're lying to us big time about everything. Like, the people that are running the show, the one that run these programs and that we're supposed to be trusting with, seriously badly have lied to all of us. And it appears that they're willing to sacrifice us all so they don't have to accept responsibility. It's beyond comprehension.
It is. One of the things that I talk about a lot is the insanity of nuclear power. And when we really sit back and look at the big picture of what nuclear power has done to this planet since it was brought to the human race, why it was brought to the human race, and what it's doing now to our planet. And then we really only got to look 20, 30 years down the road, and what we see is not a pretty picture. So,
Well, I heard Guy McPherson over the weekend say yeah. he used to say that we had 30 years, 30 to 50. In the last year or two, he's reassessed his time frame, and he thinks we have 10 years.
I think that's pushing it, Lonnie. I don't want to, one thing I honestly don't want to ever sound like a fearmonger when I try to
talk. That sounds like a fearmonger, less than 10 years. 10 years sounds like a short period of time to me.
Well, but it's realistic. It is realistic, Lonnie, when we really take, I mean, you're really on top of the extinction of animal species in the world. I've been following that. And really, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to
That
figure
is
out
actually a
that,
big
yeah, if we're
thing.
going that
How are
way
we going to
now.
deal with that? Like, just, I mean, honestly, the one, just let's just go the last 16th and 17th, right? 16 million poultry killed in South Korea due to, I love this, the avian flu. 200,000 chickens, also the avian flu in Hokkaido, Japan. I think it's always ironic, Barry, how they really never say radioactive contamination. You will never hear that. And they really, do you know they don't even test our fish? They don't test the fish for radioactive contamination. None of the dead animals. My friend Mimi Gurman up in Portland, they found these big fish, gigantic, I forget what they're called, but they're bottom liners of the Columbia River. And three of them or four of them, they're supposed to be several hundred years old animals, floated up to the top, and they tried to get the state to test it for plutonium because it's right down, you know, the road from Hanford, right, which is leaking massively, horribly. The state literally refused to test the animal for radioactive contamination.
Why such the quash on the information, Lonnie? Because
Well,
I
like
think
this,
the well,
you're
I
in
think the public was
Canada,
aware.
aren't you in Canada yourself?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to share a quick story with you here. I have a gentleman friend in Prince Rupert. He's a charter fisherman. He does charters all the time. He just acquired a very, very high tech radiation detector, and he's gone out and done some testing. And I would like to get him on your show, Lonnie, and you'll hear it right from a charter guide in Prince Rupert what he is detecting. They are detecting levels of cesium-137, 163. I'm going by memory because I talked to him 2 days ago. I was actually going to try and get him onto Chuck's show tonight, but he's doing a gig right now with a bunch of Chinese guys apparently are on the coast, and they're I don't know what he's doing, but he's tied up. He can't get on right now. But I talked to him 2 nights ago, and he told me that if people started finding out what's going on in our fish, there would be a shutdown on consumption. And of
How
course, if
did he
that
find out?
information
I want to
comes,
know how he found out that there was that contamination in his fish. Did he have it
he
tested
actually got a
himself?
detector. He got the detector, Lonnie, and this is legitimate. I'll bring him on your show. He's willing to come on shows and start talking about this because, you know, we had a
What's his name?
conversation. Ken House is his name. And
I
I
would
will
love to
get you the
talk to him.
information. I will have him on your show. I will get you his contact information, and you can talk right to the horse's mouth. I've heard this from many people now on the reservations around
Well, you
Timmins
know
here.
why, though? You know why? Because the water, you know, remember those two scientists that said there's no more, there's not much radiation in the water that caused a big stir up there with Dana Durnford, right? When he got mad at them because they were like, oh, there's no contamination in this water. That's like totally there. The fact is, it by the time it gets to us, it has minimal amounts, but every single fish in that ocean
Is being affected.
magnetizes. Well, not only that, a fish recognizes cesium as potassium, which has very trace amounts in the water. So over the years, they have evolved to magnetize the radiation 1,000 times. So every fish magnetizes the levels of cesium-137 and 134. I
Right.
mean, and in fact, not just those two isotopes, any isotope that is similar that in the potassium kind of family, cesium, potassium, anything that sort of sounds like that, they're all from that same type of isotope. The fish automatically, its body thinks of it. That's why, you know, millions of dead fish washed up in New York. Why? Because we have tritium pouring into the Hudson Bay at unprecedented amounts. 1 million pounds of dead fish washed up in Southampton, New York on November 28th.
You
That's
never
a
hear it on mainstream, but you don't
lot.
hear this being covered on mainstream, do you, Lonnie?
No, of course. You know why? Because the mainstream is the owners of the nuclear industry.
Course,
That's
we
why they
know that.
say it's safe and green and clean and it's going to be the new energy. And I mean, you know, this is my big fear with the Trumpsters. He'll do whatever they tell him to do. And he's going to put in pipelines and he's going to do the nuclear stuff big time. And he's very pro-nuke. He said he wasn't actually. There was a period of time when he said he wanted to do something about the contamination. But that's always a conversation every politician says. We're going to do something about it. Fact is, not much you can. I mean, We probably could do something about it if we put our scientific, if we took the leashes off of our scientists. You know, that's who did I say that to? Moniz, you know, the sec department, the head of the energy Department of Energy. I think his name is Edward Moniz. I forget his first name, but he, I heard him one time in a speech say that he's not very fond of nuclear. He thinks it's probably our worst option, right? So I wrote him. In fact, I tweet him. I kind of follow all these guys on Twitter. And I said, well, now that you're, he said something about it's been my honor to lead you. And I said, well, now maybe you can start working to get our scientists liberated from the controls of, we don't have science anymore. That's what's, this is why things are going awry. We don't have scientists. If we had science, like John Goffman in the 70s unequivocally said, look, this stuff will kill you. It is going to cause 225,000 genetic birth defects, 32,000 extra leukemias and cancers for every two rats in the air for a population of 1 million. Look,
Unreal.
that is known. That's a known scientific fact. So the NRC, our Nuclear Regulatory Commission, has those statistics in its quote allowable. That is considered an allowable limit. We are allowed to maim and kill people for nuclear energy.
See?
Allowable limits.
Well, it's the price of doing business. Just pay them off and shut them up. Hey, Lonnie,
Well,
literally,
actually,
with people.
it's kind of a win-win thing for them because they don't have to pay anybody off. What they do is fight everybody in court for 15 to 20 years, let most of the recipients die, get their money, and then within a few years, I mean, they can push it all off. It's really a despicable, despicable game that they
It sounds
play.
exactly like the pharmaceutical industry to me, Lonnie. I mean,
Yes, it does.
everything they do follows the same scenario. I mean, it's everything they're doing to this world right now through our food, through our air, through our vaccination programs. It's an all-out attack on the human race. And if people can't see it, they're just not paying attention. I mean, Lonnie, you know, in 1969, Canada, and this is a fact because I looked this up, my really good friend Roger Landry, I don't know if you know Roger, but he's a gentleman I would urge you to get on your show one day. He has a site called the Liberty Beacon. They are now in the top 100 websites in the world. We've got stations all around the planet. People go look at the Liberty Beacon. But anyways, Roger has done thousands, literally thousands of hours of research into genetically modified foods or vaccines. And I'd urge you to get him on your show because he is just a fountain of information. And he said to me this once, and I had to check it out for myself, folks. But you know, in 1969, Canada and the United States were, bar none, the healthiest nations on the planet. And that's a fact. But in 2016, we find ourselves now the sickest nations on the world. Period. In this planet right now, there is no nations that are sicker than the United States and Canada. Yet we spend, believe it or not, Lonnie, 10 times as much on health care as the next closest nation in the world. And I defy you to prove me wrong on these because I've checked all these facts out myself. And he said that to me the first time. I wanted it to fact check him. I wanted to vet it. And he is bang on what I've just told you is absolutely true. So really all a person's got to do is go say, hey, wait a second, hold on. If we're spending 10 times as much on healthcare and we are now the sickest people in the world, what the hell is going on? And is our system working? Well, it's working for the big pharma, and it's working for the government, and it's working for the agencies that are out to attack our health and our mental state of being. But it's not working for the people.
Well, it's not, the issue is that the people don't matter. This is really the bottom line. We are the lab rats. I mean, and this is the ironic part is that it's a fail, this thing with nuclear is a failed experiment, and not because of their denial, they really are going to kill the entire planet. I mean, when we look at what they're doing, they have spent no money on remediation, on trying to figure out how to turn it around. Every nuclear power plant produces 1,000 Chernobyls a year. And we're in the United States, we're storing them on site now because the WIPP continues to collapse. It blew up. It collapsed about 2 weeks ago. It was 8 feet thick. The ceiling that fell was the three quarters of the size of a football field and 8 feet thick. But don't worry, we don't think any of the containers were damaged. The NRC, the Department of Energy, literally had the nerve to say that. So they really are lying on every front about, look at the plutonium in the Columbia River. People around the Columbia River are dying. We had huge cases of microcephaly, 32 cases, and I think it was 13 or 14. Within 3 months, the Department of Energy's quote scientists said, no, there's no correlation between these microcephaly. We'll have to figure out why, and the leaking Columbia River. That contamination. I mean, we don't have scientists, really. You know, I have a protest sign that says, when scientists lie, people die. And that is true. And people
Well,
are
that's true.
dying, you know.
Yeah, I believe there was a state of emergency declared for the for three communities downriver on the Columbia River. That was on their government website. So, for them to continue to hide the correlation, they're not going to be able to do it forever, Lonnie. And I think when the human race wakes up to what exactly is going on to this planet right now, due to nuclear energy, we'll hear an outcry. But it's really getting education to people, and that's why
I think
I'm
that
glad to
we're
be able to
probably
stir
not,
some salt.
Barry. I would disagree with you. I don't think we're going to hear too much of an outcry. People are going to be too sick and too oppressed. We're not going to
Well,
hear.
I
I
hope
mean,
you're
I
wrong,
actually
Lonnie.
think this is why, like Syria, like they're bombing the crap out of Syria. The Syrians didn't get it. They have to take orders. Anybody who doesn't agree with I mean, we have the monsters of the world running. They will kill anybody and do anything.
I
And
know that.
in the
And you
United
know that.
States, we are getting really, people are going to be. This shocked me that I heard Guy McPherson over the weekend say that he thinks we only have 10 years left. That really are the within 10 years, it's going to go very quickly, like that humanity doesn't, we're on the end of the rope, basically.
Well, we
To
are.
me, that's a very short period of time.
Well, if you look at all our bios, what's happening to our biosphere through glyphosate, if you look what's happening to our soil, if you look what's happening to our weather, I mean, we are really in a pickle right now. And
You know, this is the
you know
thing that
what, Lonnie, I hope you're wrong. I hope, let me just intersect one thought there. I hope you're wrong. I hope we still have enough time right now if the human race can reach inside themselves and look at their soul and realize that if we don't do something about this right now, we are going to have to look our children in the face in 10 years and say, hey, we knew about it, but we didn't do anything. I don't want to do that. Every time I get a chance, every day of my life right now, I try and wake people up to what's going on.
No,
Because
but
it is,
Barry, okay, so
okay,
this is
that's,
the
I'll let you
question.
talk.
What do we do? What if we have to do something besides just waking people? I think I often have said this. I believe that people are awake. They do know. People are beginning to get it, like it's hitting them like a ton of bricks. But guess what? What do we do? When our elected officials continue to fund the military nonstop, our elected officials continue to fund pipelines that don't work, fund nuclear power plants that are leaking and breaking, when nonprofits like the National Resource Defense Fund works with the state of Illinois to keep two aging nuclear power plants together and operating so that they can continue their agenda of shutting down the coal plants in Indiana. Like, that's outrageous. Like, okay, so what do we, this is the big frustration, I think, of many people who say, okay, I'm going to get involved. You're sort of
What do we
standing
do?
on the wind, pissing in the wind. You know, you're sitting there jumping up and down, looking like a lunatic, but our elected
Well,
officials
Lonnie.
are not heeding the cause. They're not stopping.
I say to that, I say one voice is never heard, but if we can wake the people up to the point where it hits home in their life that if they don't do something about this, then there isn't going to be a planet to live on. Maybe we can get the response we need. Numbers is what it's going to take. We got the whole system for us to correct what's going on in this planet right now. The whole system has to be turned upside down because nothing's going to change. Well, you know, and I know the banksters are in control. Nothing's going to change. So we have to go to the root of the problem.
I do think the whole
That's my
system's
thought.
going to be turned upside down very shortly. We're getting to
Has to
have,
be.
oh, it's going to be. I mean, Mr.
We're at a
Donald
breaking
Trump is
point,
going to
Lonnie.
be doing, you know, like he said, why do we have nuclear weapons if we don't plan on using them? So
Exactly. And if
I
you think
think,
Trump and all these people that go, Trump is a savior, my God, folks, He's a puppet on the right. You get the puppet on the left. You know, and I know, Lonnie, and anybody that's ever listened to politicians, they'll say whatever, and they'll give you whatever you want to get elected. We heard it in 2008 from Barack Obama, and look what he did to the United States of America. He was hoping change, and he had the whole country rallying behind him. Yes, we're going to get it now. Well, the same things happened in 2016 with Trump, folks. He is a puppet. That's all he is. He's playing his part.
Well, I think that's what Barack Obama's election really showed me, especially the second one. Really, whoever gets into that office gets a knock at the door, and you are told you are going to behave. You're going to do what we tell you. You're going to find a way to sell the same agenda and twist and turn, and you can try to figure out a way to do it, but we'll stop you at every turn. I mean, to be honest, Obama attempted the first few months to really stand up and do a few things, and then, but I was really stunned when he first walked in there, and all of a sudden, and this was the interesting thing to find out now, I read this a few weeks ago, Bush's transition team and Barack Obama were working together before he even got elected. That's why so rapidly after he got elected, he just put in all of Bush's people, because it was already pre-planned. And I mean, it was, I actually believe that he may have been funded by the nuclear industry, because the Republicans had already decided in 2007, or they wrote into their last budget in 2007, that in 2012, the United States had to heavily invest in nuclear. They wrote that. It was a mandated spending, mandatory spending. I think it was $35 billion or $35 million or some gigantic number. I forget the number. I think it was billion. We had to spend that much money on nuclear. That's why we started to see those new nuclear power, the whole thing about those little SMRs, the small nuclear reactors that they're going to be building around the country. They are building them. Like, this is the thing. Who did I say this to? No matter what we do, it doesn't matter. They continue. They're like the Godzilla that's just like chomping over the entire land. Like, they really are unstoppable.
Out of control.
Beyond out of control. I mean, it's outrageous. Do you follow the nuclear industry in Canada?
I follow it quite a bit.
Do you guys have like nuclear alerts? Like, here we have the NRC where we can get nuclear alerts and tells us what went wrong.
I haven't seen anything like that on Canadian websites, but I'm sure if there was an incident in Canada, we'd hear about it pretty quick. But I'm not aware of any agencies like that in Canada that I'm aware of. So, but I follow what's going on in Canada. I follow what's going on closely now with nuclear. You know, one thing that drove me nuts about nuclear when I started looking at it, Lonnie, and Fukushima was kind of the wake-up call for me too, but I did a study one night, and we talked about this real briefly, but people got to do this and see it for themselves, is that when you do a pull-up on your computer of all the known and active fault lines on the planet Earth today, it'll give you a map, and it'll show you every known and active fault line on the planet Earth today, and then you punch up another search engine going every known and active nuclear power plant on the Earth today. And if you overlay them on top of each other, you will fall off your chair. It's like they've intentionally, Lonnie, people got to do this, because I said, like, this was said to me once, and I had to go look at it myself, and I did the look at it, and it's absolutely correct.
It's true.
That a great percentage of our nuclear power plants have been built within very, very close striking range of major fault lines that will and will have and will continue to create huge earthquakes, like the San Madre going up the center of the United States of America. A lot of Americans don't even know, Lonnie, that zone created three earthquakes in 1811 that were all over 8 magnitude. Well, if that same event happened today with the chemical plants on the Mississippi and the nuclear power plants operating, you would see a disaster beyond what the human race would be able to comprehend. That's what we're doing. We're laying down an unbelievable situation where we are going to wipe out life on this planet. I honestly believe that, because you can't unleash the sun on the earth and not expect to get burned. Go ahead. I get crazy about it.
The Columbia Generating Station was built on top of an earthquake fault. A licensee lied to the government about it, left it off of its application. Yeah. It's been built, and here we are. It's over its time. Its time has been extended. Do you know that it is only 15 miles away from the Hanford site, which means that if there's a nuclear meltdown at Hanford, that I mean, at the Columbia Generating Station, nobody could get into Hanford to tell anybody about I beg your pardon, I'm stumbling over my words. At Hanford, there's some background here. At Hanford, you have to maintain these sludge tanks, basically. They have to be constantly turned in order for them not to create an explosion, because they're so hot, they'll automatically combust. If nobody can get into those tanks to turn them, because the Columbia Generating Station has had a meltdown, and you can't get any, if you go within 25 miles of a meltdown, you die within 15, 20 minutes within the first 2 weeks. It has to cool down before anybody could get there. So no one can get to Hanford for 2 weeks when Columbia Generating Station has a nuclear meltdown.
Right.
I mean, and then just this morning, the NRC, there's an automatic scram from the Columbia Generating Station. There was an emergency reported on 12/18, that was just yesterday, at the Columbia Generating Station, reported to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Automatic scram due to low reject from the substation. And they're saying all rods have been fully inserted. Don't worry. Nothing has been intended. The licensee indicated that no increase in radiation levels were detected. Liars. That's such a lie. You know what I'm saying? It's so unbelievable. And yet, there's this man. I'm going to give out his phone number. His name is Elliot Mainzer at the Bonneville Power Administration, who has the ability to close down the Columbia Generating Station if it's an emergency, which he should be doing right now. I mean, it should be closed down yesterday.
Well, you know what, Lonnie? The potential for disaster that we've laid down on this planet boggles my mind. It really does.
And well, I'm going to give out Elliot's phone number. Let me give out Elliot's number. And I do this almost every day. Please call him, because there was an automatic scram due to load reject from substation. And the licensee indicated that there's no increase in radiation levels were detected, but there has been nobody from the NRC to verify that. So they can just say whatever they want. If I read you this whole thing, you'd be going, oh, my God, there has to be an increase in radiation levels. Now, this was 11:24 last night. It experienced a full reactor scram. Preliminary investigations indicate the scram was caused by a load reject from Bonneville Power Station. Further investigation will continue. So we should definitely call Elliot Mainzer today. His number is 800-282-3713. Because if the Columbia Generating Station, which is sitting on top of an active earthquake fault that is overdue, it turns out the state of Washington got mad because it was found that there was an earthquake. So they said, well, they were trying to prove it wrong that there was no earthquake. They found like over 8 earthquake faults underneath. And they also found that there's Hanford is built on earthquake faults also. Mm-hmm. So if something goes wrong with Hanford, bye-bye North America, because we're going to have a fire that we cannot put out for 100,000 years.
It's unbelievable, isn't it, Lonnie? People have no idea the potential that's surrounding them right now. And it, like I said, it's so unnecessary, folks, because we have every means at our disposal right now to power this planet without nuclear energy.
That's right.
I mean, you know, and I know, Lonnie, people, you know what, one thing, people.
Shut them down. That's the one thing we can't
that's
do.
That's it. We need a cry from the public. Look, we can live without them, folks. You know, nuclear power was never brought into society to produce energy anyways. And if you look into the history of it, you'll find out that it was brought to produce weapons-grade plutonium for the military-industrial complex. That's a fact. That's why they operate so hot. They could make designs of nuclear power plants that were a lot safer than the ones we're operating today. Except, like example, the GE Mark V generators are the worst design in human race, but they produce large amounts of plutonium. And that, folks, believe it or not, if you look into the history of it, you'll find out that's why it was brought to, and it was sold to us as the new clean way to generate power. Oh, my God, we're 60 years into this now, and our planet's dying. And if we don't hear a cry from the people and stop it, Lonnie, then the planet, honestly, without sounding like a fearmonger, the planet's doomed. I see no way around it. But
I think that our Mother Earth is stronger than humans. Earth will be fine. Humans may not. Animals on this life on this planet may have to start over again. I mean, that's kind of the bottom line. I mean, we have seen many, many traces of lost civilizations, and we wonder what happened to them. And now we know what happened to them. I mean, we have seen what happens. We obliterate ourselves, and then we scratch ourselves back to civilization or whatever we call this. And then, I mean, what's interesting about it, though, Barry, is that the thing that drives people is we want peace. Humans, as much as we have war on this planet, like I heard somebody say, well, we just have war. That's how mankind is. No, it's not. We don't have to be at war. If Einstein said this, if every soldier refused to pull the trigger, if every person said, no, I'm not going to participate in the war, we would not have war. That is what we must do. That's the amazing part about it is we have to not just accept, we glorify war as if it's some good thing. And yet, for you know, we've now got this what I call news porn going on right now with, oh, the children are dying in Aleppo, Aleppo, Aleppo. 3 weeks ago it was Standing Rock, Standing Rock, Standing Rock. You notice the waves. They put us through these little waves of thought patterns. Like, really, Standing Rock is still not fixed. Aleppo has been going on for 5 years since Hillary Clinton decided to kill, you know, since they decided that that guy Assad wasn't, you know, he was going to not use the dollar. They didn't like him. You know, I mean, this is really, people need to really decide that they're going to raise their minds to a higher level. And
yep.
I keep thinking that we can, like, it's beginning to hit me like a ton of bricks that no matter what we do with our elected officials, they don't care. They're not going to cut the military budget off. They're not going to say, you guys have had enough money. We're going to defund all the nuclear weapons. We're not going to fund the plutonium processing plants that's killing everybody. We're just not going to do it. And they have too much money. They don't care who gets in the way. They'll kill anybody and destroy anyone they want. And that's what we are. It's the come to Jesus moment when we realize, like, the freaking fox is definitely running the hen house.
He's running rampant right now in the hen house. You know, a couple thoughts I'd like to share, Lonnie. You know, the Earth has experienced extinction events in the past. We know that. It's been hit by asteroids. It's taken out a good percentage of the surface life. But life always survived on the planet. But what we're facing now is a different situation. The planet was never, I don't believe the Mother Earth was ever planned or intended to handle tremendous, unbelievable amounts of nuclear fallout. And that's the potential we have right now of covering this planet with. And if that happens, Lonnie, I agree. The Earth will come back, but I don't think it's going to come back in 100 years or 1,000 years. I think you could be looking at 10 or 15,000 years where there is no life on this planet. Because if you kill the very bottom of life on the planet, which is the bottom of our ocean, that's where all life starts on this planet. Is the planet going to come back in 100 years? No, I don't think so. I think we're looking at a potential of killing all existing microorganisms on the planet today. And that happens, then sure, she will rebound, but it could be 100,000 years before you see life on this planet again, Lonnie.
That's true. Well, you know, there are some microorganisms at the bottom of the Earth that can thrive on nuclear, isotopes. They've found that, you know, the deep, deep ocean is something that our scientific community knows very little about. And this is the other part is when it comes to the current modern era of science, they really have killed science in the last 100 years. We don't have scientific thought. We have scientific jobs where you go to work and you produce the right answer, you can make a lot of money. But, you know, like Catherine Higley, I wonder how much she actually got paid to produce a scientific paper out of the Oregon State University that said there's no more radiation coming out of Fukushima than in a banana. That's where it came from Catherine Higley. Or Dr. Gilmedi, Dana Durnford discovered this guy, Dr. Gilmedi in New Mexico, testing dogs week in, week out, and giving them the smallest, tiniest, easiest dose to see what would happen to the animals and keeping them for years. They all die. All of them die as a cause. You cannot get any nuclear contamination and be safe. That's what they've discovered. Yet, those studies are still funded. They're still torturing dogs. Instead of saying, we shouldn't have any radiation in our system, we've got to figure out a way to remediate the radiation that came onto this planet when we did the nuclear bomb testing 30 years ago. They are continuing to pretend like it's not, you know, Barack Obama raised our radiation limits after Fukushima exponentially. They used to warn us when one person in 10,000 got cancer. Now they will warn us when one in 26, it's either one in 26 or one in 23 get cancer. So basically, when everybody's got cancer, they're going to say, oh, we, you know, well, this is this scram. I mean, you know what a scram is? A full nuclear melt. It's a full shutdown. Columbia Generating Station went into full shutdown last night. I mean, it was this when we're saying there was a scram at a nuclear power plant. A scram is the emergency shutdown of a nuclear reactor. So we are in constant threat, and we don't even know. Like, they basically allowed this licensee to say, there's no increase in radiation limits. Don't worry about it. The NRC resident inspector has been notified. Don't worry. It's all fine.
Well, everybody get on the phone then.
I
everybody
mean,
get on the phone and call that number, 800-282-3713.
That's right, and speak with Elliot Mainzer and tell him that we need to shut down the Columbia Generating Station before it kills our planet. Because really, if we look at the earthquake faults, I mean, the earthquake movement
Well, look at the increase in earthquakes. Look at the increase in earthquakes in the last little while, Lonnie. They're right off the charts. The Earth is rumbling right now in ways that we've never, ever seen before. The incidence and rise of earthquakes is right off the scale. The whole Earth is wobbling right now. The pressure is going in multiple directions. I mean, do you tune in and listen to Dutch Sense at all, Lonnie? Do you listen to that guy?
I follow
him every day. Well, his accuracy right now over the last 3 months is at about 87%, folks. So this man has got it figured out, and he's calling them. So if you want to know where a potential earthquake is going to hit, folks, tune into Dutch every day and listen to his forecast. He is nailing them, locations, size, and dates. So
you know
tune
why?
In, because it can save your life, Lonnie.
The thing is, he came up with a theory that is actually seems – it's Dutch Sins, DutchSinse.com. Right. Mm-hmm. And he basically came up with this idea. You know how we've been told that the Earth, that the ocean splits in the Atlantic and it slowly separates at the bottom and it moves the oceans, pushes east to west. Well, he discovered that it's actually the other way. It's west to east, and that you can actually track and determine where an earthquake's going to be if you follow the last earthquakes and understand that you add them together and they create another earthquake in between the silent zone. So you can actually track the movements around the Earth, and that's why he's so accurate. His theories are and he's gotten a lot of slack from the standard scientific community because it goes against What's ironic about that, though, Barry, is it goes against all the standard scientific thought. But isn't that what science is? That's what Dr. Christopher Busby said over the weekend in his video. Look, we don't have to agree with each other. We put your ideas together, my ideas together, and we test them and see what works. Because Dutch came up with a new idea that completely transforms science, how they look at it, they're spending money to harass him. He's got paid trolls. There's a sign, ironically, from Washington State, where Hanford is. Scientists at the university there are commenting on his page and kind of harassing. They've stopped because he's so predictable. Mm-hmm. But you would think that they would respect his work and say, you know, this is a unique thought. It's a very unique thought that he actually came up with.
Well, you got people that are paid to go to university for years and they can't even get close to what he's doing right now, and they refuse to admit that he's right. But you know what? I've watched the predictions. I've been watching Dutch for about a year now, and you know, there's no coincidence here, folks. He really has figured this out. And you can't give a prediction rate of 87% over a 3-month period and it just doesn't happen. You can't do that based on the old science. But what he's doing is absolutely – this man should be given a Nobel Peace Prize, Lonnie. I really feel that, because if you listen to what he's saying and he gives you a heads up on an earthquake and that saves a couple lives, well, that's a really good thing in my life, especially if one of these earthquakes is close to one of these facilities that we just talked about, Lonnie. I mean, that potential for the Columbia River is just mind-boggling. It just, I wake up, like I said, when I talked to you this morning, I woke up and the sun was up, and I figure that's a good day, because literally we could wipe out life on the planet. That's really crazy. That's insane that we're the generation, because of our complacency, are responsible for that. Oh, man, I can't wrap my head around that, Lonnie. Go ahead.
I don't know if it's complacent. See, I think it's not. I think a lot of people aren't complacent. I think a lot of people, we're like battered wives. I've said this before. We really are battered wives, and we're protecting the batterer. Like, we have been battered so hard, mentally and physically. I mean, the Occupy movement was the last big push to assert our rights, right? That got quashed pretty quickly. And then this latest thing that we've seen has been the water protectors here in the United States. That's actually been muffled. And people really are getting it that attempting to counter these people, you can do what you want, but it's kind of like when I was in Peru one time, my ex-husband, I was always amazed that any little city we went to in Peru, there was always like a protest. People were out protesting for their rights for wages or water or something, you know. But in the town, there was always like a pickup truck with a machine gun going around the town, it was a military thing, you know, the military sort of paramilitary, I guess you call it, right? It was the
Police
cops.
Case.
It's kind of like what we're going to have here after Trump gets elected. I mean, the cops are going to be rolling around with their guns pointing at us going, don't fuck up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what they're going to be doing. And that's what they did in Peru. And my ex-husband said, he goes, yeah, you can protest all you want here in Peru, but nothing ever changes. Like, what's the point?
Well.
And you see people frustrating. It's like, yeah, people protest all the time. But try to get anything. I met a lady on a plane who had paid her maid $300 a month. And her husband, who worked for a major mineral company, got reprimanded by his boss for overpaying because they were going to upset the apple cart economically in the little village if their maid made more money than the boss who was running their mining organization. That will tell you, you know, how much, I mean, it is grotesque.
How far we've gone.
It is grotesque. And people comply instead of saying, fuck you, I'm going to pay her a decent wage. And, you know, allowing himself, I mean, he probably would have been terminated, but guess what? At a certain point, you have to decide you're not going to work for the monsters and starve the beast. You know, like,
yeah, but people have to come out of the matrix.
You know what, though? If we stopped, I don't know. When I lived in LA, and I'm from Los Angeles, I was raising two kids. I often had to work two jobs because I refused to work for Teledyne, because I refused to go to work for the war machine. There was places all over LA that I could have gotten a decent job doing my neighbors downstairs made bank making satellites for the military, working for Raytheon. To me, that was just so grotesque. I couldn't live with myself.
Well, you know, really, Lon, if we look at the whole picture right now, I mean, you've got the police forces in the United States have been militarized like crazy in the last 4 years. You have FEMA camps set up and operational
in
the United States.
It's not the last 4 years, Barry. I'm going to correct you on that.
Three or four years. Excuse me. Correct me.
What happened is 3 or 4 years ago, they started selling extra Congress changed the law so that we could sell our extra military equipment to our police force. The militarization started with George Bush when he brought in the Israeli Defense Force to train our police.
Okay.
That's what happened, and it started like around 2004. They can't roll out militarized police all at once, or people would be upset. So they brought it in stages. Yeah, this is why I think I have to say, I rancor at when people blame everything on Obama, Obama, Obama. Well, you know, he was just the smooth talker who brought it in, and Trump's going to be the hammer. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they're all taking orders. I mean, even little George Bushy, he was taking orders from his pops. You know what I mean? He probably scored big points for rolling in what he did in his family. And when he said mission accomplished, he did not mean the Iraq War. He meant it is all tidied up, nice, neat little bow. We have all branches of the legislation. We have a complete military force. We've taken away people's rights with the Unpatriot Act. And he got the two women who watched the Abu Ghraib videotapes, the two women, the only two women in Congress who watched it. Jane Harman wrote the Homegrown Terrorist Act, and Nancy Pelosi took impeachment off the table. That was their response to watching those videotapes. Now, you think that was not, those were uncoerced acts, two highly Democratic, quote, progressive women deciding to take impeachment off the table and writing legislation so that now, if you protest and create a protest in the United States that hurts corporations, you can be considered a homegrown terrorist.
That's where they're going, Lonnie. No
That's where they
justice.
have gone. These laws have passed. We're there. Hello. This is
It's
where
pretty
people are
delicate.
like, what happened to us, man? This is what nobody paid
What
attention
the
to.
hell is going on in America? We've been asleep.
It was like 9/11, 9/11, 9/11, 9/11 while they're doing all this stuff, you know. And that's when I woke up, really, was 9/11. When that happened, it was so obvious the day it happened. It was not their. I listened to their story change from the morning to the afternoon. The story changed completely. And I'm like, you know, I could see Karl Rove with his little hat sitting at the typewriter, sort of planning it out and typing it up. You know what I mean? Like, wow, this is going to work great, you guys. And guess what it did? Only the one thing they didn't count on was Fukushima, because Fukushima rocked everybody, because we cannot ignore the death that it is going to cause. They are not stopping it. They're not even
Well,
attempting to stop it.
9/11 was my wake-up call too, Lonnie. I watched it. Actually, you know what? I'm going to be quite honest. The day it happened, I watched it, and it really kind of looked kind of very strange to me. But at that point, I didn't put all the dots together. But then, of course, I went and watched 9/11 Architects of the Truth, and that really kind of woke me up. That was my
Oh,
real wake-up.
definitely. To me, to be honest, that morning, like, I started laughing when they said, "Oh, breaking news! They found the passports of the terror of the."
Yeah,
I
3 blocks away,
untarnished,
Imagine that.
unburned. I mean, it was just like the most hilarious. That if it hadn't been pathetic, but the thing that I objected to was the nonstop bombardment of the visual, the burning images, boom, boom, boom. We watched the crash, and they brainwashed us. It was like brainwashing everywhere you went. Everybody had it on. I mean, at my house, after a while, I said, "Look, we're turning this. We're not watching it." I did not allow my children to watch that nonstop and be bombarded with it. It was ridiculous. And
And
honestly,
changed our world.
yeah, mission accomplished, man. Like, you know, we're phase three. We're in phase three now. And so this is how we have been able to frame things. I mean, we've elected a predator in chief, you know what I mean? Like in the American Taliban. I mean, to me, Mike Pence is more scary than Trump, because he is the American Taliban. I mean, he believes in what do they call that? Reunification, like where they're trying conversion therapy for gay people. Seriously believes in it. Like, it's, I find that frightening. Mike Pence is actually, his office actually reported me for threatening to murder his staff. His office did. Because I called up and disagreed with
Careful
his
now,
vote.
they'll be droning you, Lonnie.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the
You
good
can hear
thing
a
is,
buzz over your head, duck.
whatever. I mean, they can do whatever they want. They, you know, that's the good thing is, like, I'm 61 years old. Please do me a favor. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like,
I
I'm
feel the
sort of
exact
over it.
same way, Lonnie. I feel the exact same way. The only way they're going to shut me up is to put a bullet in my head. And you know what? That's not out of the realm of possibility in the near future for people like you and me. We know that. We're sticking our necks out, but we do it because we're compelled to. I mean, God, look what's going on in our country right now, Lonnie. I mean, Trudeau, it's just unbelievable what he's doing. I could get into an hour talking about that, and we don't have the time today. But he's a globalist, true and true. He's a professed Muslim, and he's running Canada. And what he's doing to Canada is just trying to catch up with the United States of America very quickly. So we see it
I
everywhere. We
don't
see
know
it all
much
over.
about Trudeau, except he looks to
All right,
me
I'll
very
do a
much
show with you.
like a, he looks like an
I'll do a show with you
insider.
sometime.
He looks like an insider person.
Well, give me an
You know
hour
what I
sometime
mean?
later this week, and I'll blow everything about Trudeau out for your listeners if you want, because he's somebody I follow very closely. And I know that I'm probably on their list right now because I speak against the guy all the time because I'm calling him out for what he is. He is the biggest wolf that's ever been in a sheep's clothing in Canada. And he's going to destroy this country. I told people that when he was elected that he was going to destroy Canada. He's just doing it a lot quicker than I anticipated him doing.
Really?
Anyways, yeah,
So
no, it's
he's.
unbelievable. What's going on in our parliament, Lonnie? It is an absolute circus. You mean you cannot get a straight answer out of the Liberal government? They have broken every ethics rules in our parliament. They're laughing at the Canadian public. They have broken every promise they made. Every single promise that he made to get elected as our prime minister, he has now broke. Well, does that sound familiar, folks? It's the
Well,
same crap.
they all say what they want to do, and then when they get in office, you see, they're all run by the industrial military complex. They take their orders. And the thing about this guy Trudeau, he seemed like he was an insider, like he knew already what his job was to do.
Well, he was a
He
bartender 10 years before he became prime minister. What does that tell you?
I don't know that he was a bartender. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, to me, that's kind of like hiring Trump, right?
Well,
Like,
yeah, he came out of nowhere and all of a sudden he's the prime minister. Well, you don't think that was set up, folks? Come on, give your head a shake.
I thought he was related to the former prime minister.
He is Pierre
He's his
Elliott
son,
Trudeau's
right?
son. And
Yeah.
Lonnie, if you ever punch up the history on Pierre Elliott
I
Trudeau,
mean, he's
you'll
kind of like
find
the
out he was.
Bush.
He
It's the
was
Bush
a member
crime
of Skull and
family.
Bones.
Right. It's
He
the
was a
Bush
member of
crime
Skull and
family.
Bones. Yeah,
Aren't they
he
the
was.
Canadian
He was
version of the.
insider.
Yeah. I mean, aren't these guys the version of the. They're the Canadian Bush crime family. I mean, like, that's kind of like
Exactly.
what we've got there.
Exactly what
But they're
Trudeau
all the
is.
same. They're all the same. I mean, the reality is. When people talk about, oh, the New World Order, no, the New World Order is here. It's already here. They're already, hello. They're working on their plan. They're not like going to implement their plan. They have implemented their plan. I mean, 10 tons of fish suddenly died in Indonesia.
Unreal.
Suddenly died in Lake Kerici, Jambia, in Indonesia. I mean, that is a lot. That's 10 tons of fish in one day. 100 tons in Indonesia, in Lake Manaju, in Indonesia. What's causing this? 10 tons, 100,000. These were all December 8th, December 13th. 700 geese found dead in Poland. 5,000 duck killed in France. I mean, thousands of fish washed up in Cornwall, England. I mean, the massive animal deaths is just unbelievable.
Unprecedented in human history. It really is, Lonnie. We killed 60% of the species on this planet in the last, what, 65 years. That's the figures I read. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's where we're at right now. And if people can't see the acceleration, if you don't think the food chain is relevant in our world, then you're not paying attention. If you continue to take pieces out of the food chain, eventually the whole food chain will collapse. And that's what we're looking at right now, a complete breakdown of the food chain on the planet Earth, because you cannot continue to do that, Lonnie. You cannot continue to take pieces out. Pieces are everything supports each other on this planet. It is all one mechanism, and she's resilient as hell. But right now, she is being pushed right to the limits, and she's going to come to a point where she breaks, and she'll kick us off like fleas, man, because she's
That's
had
kind of
enough.
like what we are, isn't it? Please, that's an
Yeah, well,
interesting
she's
way
had
to put
enough. What
this.
kind of guardians are we of this planet? What gives us the right to do what we've done? Because of our complacency, because of lack of education, because of caring, because we've been so indoctrinated into a greed-based society that all he teaches you is what you got to
You
do,
know what,
how you go
Barry?
to school. It's crazy.
I'm gonna interrupt you on that. I think it's the opposite. I do not think we are complacent. I think we are like battered wives protecting the abuser. We have been battered and brainwashed to can think if you behave, you can have everything that you want. You can have all the beautiful jewelry. If you don't behave, you get beaten up severely, punched in the face, shot, murdered, and killed. So, in order to protect our families, we stay quiet. People are afraid. They are unconsciously, people are afraid. I go out into the street and protest by myself, and people have come up to me and said, "Aren't you afraid of the government looking, following you?" And I'm like, "You think they don't already? Like, for real? You think that matters? You think it matters to them, one person, the next? People are afraid. So what we real this is why at the end of every show I tell people to put your courage feet on, because we actually literally have to choose courage. We have to choose. And guess what? When you choose courage, you're still afraid. It's okay. It's okay to act afraid. Act Do it. We have got to take whatever action that we think we can do. This is why I encourage people to call Elliot Mainzer. The Columbia Generating Station just went into a full scram, a full meltdown, and the licensee has the goddamn nerve to say that there's no levels of increase of radioactive contamination, which is has to be a lie, because just to keep it from blowing up, they have to open up the vents. Period. So there is some increase in levels of radiation. So I'm going to give you Elliot Mainzer's phone number again, folks. We have about 5 minutes. He's at the Bonneville Power Administration. It's 800-282-3713. That's 800-282-3713. Call him and tell him to do what he can to close the Columbia Generating Station. Not only do we have an increase in earthquakes on the West Coast, Columbia Generating Station just had a full scram. If it had a nuclear meltdown, if it was really seriously bad and they really stayed into a nuclear meltdown and this thing does not get fixed, if it turns out that this is a bad thing, because let me tell you what, they're not going to tell us when something bad happens. They'll tell us after, just like they told us in Japan, 2, 3 weeks later. They will contaminate everybody first. So we have got to tell him to close this plant down immediately, because it is presents a clear and present danger to the entire planet because of its proximity to Hanford.
Okay, Edwin, you know what? This has been a really great conversation today, Lonnie. And maybe complacency is the wrong word to use, but the pretext I really kind of think about that is people's lack of time to really kind of look into what is going on behind the scenes. And society as a whole is still not doing that out of fear. Fear is their biggest mechanism, Lonnie. So maybe we're not complacent. Maybe we are such a fear-driven society, like you said, that we can't look outside the box. But you have to look fear in the face, and the way you look fear in the face is through knowledge and through sharing love with your neighbors and talking to them.
Love,
And
you
that's all,
said
I
the
think that's
word,
all we can do
Mary.
right now, huh?
Love. Love is
Love
greater
is
than
love
fear.
is the key.
I actually
Love is the
have
key.
that tattooed on my arm, on my forearm. It says, love is greater than fear. I mean, for real.
It overcomes fear. Love will overcome fear. Guys, and at this point in our lives, I feel you say hello to your friends and neighbors, share a smile, and you'd be amazed at the effect that has on people. I do it every day of my life, and it opens up avenues to you to share thoughts with people. And that's what we really have to do. We have to sit down at our kitchen tables and start sharing these thoughts with our friends and neighbors, because when the push comes, that's all you're going to have.
Right. Well, love is all that really matters, really. When it gets right down to it, what really matters is love and each other. And that's why, like, it's really important. And that's what I think our gift is. Like, our planet, our entire planet is, I could do a whole show on my thoughts about this. I think our planet has the gift of love. Like, that's our thing. That's our power. That's our real power, is if we walk in
It
love and
is.
stay in love, I really believe that we can find solutions if we release the need to feel afraid. We don't, if we just release that need to feel afraid and just allow ourselves to open up and be love. Be in love and attract love and allow ourselves to express love. I really believe that we can overcome all of it, because these haters,
Amen.
they can't stand the hate. It chases them away. Love really is greater than fear, and it's greater than hate. That's
Wow.
why they
We
don't
could
want us to
do a
love each
show
other.
on that, Lonnie. We could do a show on that, and how
You
can
know, we
society,
could.
how our
You
soul has
know.
been taken, how our soul has been taken out of society, because it has. And we could do a show about that one time, and I'd love to chat with you again. I've got to go
Me
right now because I
too.
got to go up today. But you
Me
know what? We're
too.
going to be talking again tonight, Lonnie. I really look forward to it. Thanks for having me in today. It's been
Well,
awesome
thank
sharing
you
some thoughts
so
with you,
much. Thank you for staying with me for so long. I didn't expect it. Thank you so much, Barry. Appreciate it.
Anytime, Lonnie. I'd love to chat with you again.
Okay. Thank you so much. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was a really little bit of a good conversation there. I will be on the Ocelli Effect tonight at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. They've invited me to be on their show. It's kind of weird the way it all worked out. I had already calendared Barry to be on this morning, and then Chuck Ocelli called me up and said, "How about being on next Monday?" I'm like, "Sure." So look, Thank you for joining me. And really, this whole conversation about love is something that we really must meditate on and think about and allow ourselves to feel more of. Put your courage feet on, you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Take some action. Do what you can. Call the Columbia Generating Station. Tell them to shut up.